2 Kings chapter 10. I want to look at another one of Israel's kings this morning by the name of Jehu, and I want to look at the thought of Jehu's failure. Jehu's failure. Chapter 10 of 2 Kings, verse 30, and we're going to take the thought from verse 31. But I'm going to read 4 verses, and then we'll pray and look at this thought of Jehu's failure. The Bible says in verse 30, said, "And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was..." Sounds like a pretty good promise there, don't it? But verse 31 says, "But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin." Verse 32 said, "In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel, from Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites, and the Reubenites, and the Mount Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan." Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you, as we come to this, give us the right words to say. Lord, I pray that we'd could look at the failures of these individuals in the Bible, Lord, and learn from them this morning. Lord, that we might avoid failure in our own life, Father. Lord, help us to be attentive to what you have for us, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's one listening or here, far as we know everyone here is saved, Lord, but there may be someone that's watching by the way of Facebook, Lord, that's never trusted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you touch that heart nearest eternity. Lord, encourage your people. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to the house of God on a Sunday morning, Lord, to get some encouragement through the Sunday school lessons, Lord, and through the songs that's been handed down to us in the past, Lord, and a message from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. As we've been looking at some of these kings off and on for the past few weeks, I'm glad that there's some thoughts and some things that we can learn from these kings, I believe, and seeing how a lot of them did that which was right in the eyes of God. And I've said this many times, the northern kingdom, they never had a good king after the dividing of the kingdom there from... and given part to Rehoboam and part to Jeroboam. They never saw another good king. And Jehu is one of those northern kings. And we see that God used him. And we find here that Jehu was raised up by God to execute judgment on the house of Ahab. You know, wicked Ahab. And he was one of the worst kings, him and Manasseh, that the northern kingdom ever had. And they wrought folly. They were wicked in the eyes of God, and they were promoting Baal worship, and they just brought a big reproach upon the nation of Israel there. But then in First Kings chapter 19, when Elijah was having his bout with depression, there God reminded him that he had 7,000 that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. God told him to return to Damascus. There in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15, to go and anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and verse 16, Jehu to be king over Israel. Jehu was commissioned to cut off the whole house of Ahab. And so we see in 2 Kings 9, prior to the chapter 10, verses 7-10, we see Jehu's commission here. The Bible said, "And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, and the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled." And then we see not only Jehu's commission there, but then we see Jehu's commitment here in executing the judgment that God had determined upon the house of Ahab. And we know some of the things that Ahab did and how God was cutting him short and cutting his family short and ruling here in Israel. And we see that this task was one that Jehu accepted with joy. He slew right and left and spared none. And this pretty bloody portion of Scripture when you begin to read it and see what's going on. But unlike Saul with the Amalekites who spared Agag and the best of the cattle, Jehu utterly exterminated Ahab and his household. He did exactly what God told him to do. So we see Jehu's commitment in executing this judgment that God had called him and brought him about to do. And then we see Jehu's complete annihilation of the prophets of Baal. When he had fulfilled the task upon Jezebel and all of Ahab's household, he paused by the way to congratulate himself, and he said to Jehonadab, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord," and proceeded at once to gather together the priests of Baal and to annihilate them. We find out here, in looking at his life and the things that he'd done in the portion of Scripture that I read there in chapter 10, we find that he had no true heart toward God. He'd had no true heart for God. But while he was ready and earnest in a work which suited his furious taste, he had no true heart toward God while he was the destroyer of Baal. He didn't love God. I mean, he loved what God had no doubt called him to do and the job that God gave him to do in annihilating these prophets of Baal. Hey, but we find that he had no real heart. And so then we see not only his commitment, his complete annihilation of the prophets, then we see Jehu's corruption. He didn't care to know or to desire to walk in the way of God. His actions as God's executioner were right, but his heart was wrong toward the things of God. And having overthrown here the worship of Baal, he almost immediately established another form of idolatry in its place and asked the nation to bow itself before the golden calves of Bethel. And if you remember, if you've read the story of the kings in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you remember the rending of the kingdom, how Jeroboam, as he was the king of the 10 northern tribes, he built and set up those caves there at Dan for the people of God to come and worship there so that they wouldn't go down to Jerusalem. That was the first step of the fall of Israel there, for his being divided there because Jerusalem was the place to worship. God has set up his divine worship, and it was in a specific place. It was in a specific way. Hey, God has ways to worship. There's not many different ways to worship. There's really one true way to worship. And this morning as we gather, in this day of grace, we know that the Bible says upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside as Lord is prospering. I'm glad under grace. Hey, we can go to revivals. We can worship the Lord 7 days a week. We can worship Him any place. Hey, we know that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we worship God in this body, and we can worship Him anywhere. I'm glad of the promise where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'd be in the midst. But we find here that hating one sin, he loved another, proving that the fear of God didn't rule in his heart. And he was merely a hired servant and received the throne as his wages, but a child of God he never was. He did God's work as the lion did. It slew the wicked prophet, but he remained a lion. I wonder this morning, do we suppose that this heedless man was alone without a companion? No doubt he had others that was helping him in this endeavor. But there have been a lot of people in history, there still remain many today that don't heed to the will and to the Word of God. And that's what we want to look at in Jehu's failure in heeding the Word of God or what God told him to do. And so we'll give you three things real quick this morning. We'll go downstairs and we'll eat, and then we'll come back up for another service this afternoon. First of all, we see the display of heedlessness. The display of heedlessness this morning. Jehu took no heed to what this morning? He asked the question, what did he not heed to? He took great heed to kill Ahab's family. That's what God had called him to do, and that's what God had commissioned him to do, was to kill all of Ahab's family. And you go back and read, man, that was a bloody time as he killed all those 70 sons of there, and then the prophets of Baal, and even went as far as to kill Ahaziah as he was coming to Israel. He was the king of Judah. Now the Bible didn't say that he told Jehu to kill Ahaziah, but no doubt, I mean, he could have, and not recorded, had implemented that into the commission that he gave him, but he went crazy on a killing spree. And it's amazing what all he did. So he took great heed to kill Ahab's family, and he took great heed to destroy Baal worshippers. No doubt, maybe he didn't like the Baal worshiping. And so he took advantage of that, and he destroyed all of the Baal worshippers there. They gathered in, the priest and those that came to worship, and he just took them all out. But he took no heed, though, number three, he took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God with all his heart. And we find today that there's many people today that take no heed to God's Word. God give us His Word for a reason. He's given us His Word to guide us and direct us in our walk with the Lord on a regular basis. And thank God that we have a Bible this morning. We know how to truly worship God. I'm glad it's been laid out that through the epistles of Paul, he wrote in writing to Timothy, he told him that he wrote those things that might know how to conduct themselves in the house of God. I'm glad that we know how to come together and we know how to worship the Lord Jesus Christ today. Hey, but we still see a lot of people that's not taking heed to the Word of God. And we see the failure of many people in their walk with God today as they don't pay attention to what God said. And I'm afraid that many today have a take it or leave it attitude, or a smorgasbord religion. I'll take this and I'll take that. Hey, but all the Word of God is true this morning. And it's all the Word of God is for you and I in our life to order our steps and to guide us as we go through this walk of life. Without the Word of God, hey, we don't have anything. We'd be like the other religions of this world that's trying to carry on today and get by in just going nonchalantly through what we think is right. I'm glad there's a right way to do things. Hey, I'm glad there's a right way to live our life. And I'm glad that we, as God's people that are saved by the grace of God, as Brother Chris was teaching there this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about working with God. I'm glad God has given us a work to do with Him this morning. And we can accomplish that. And the only way that we're going to be pleasing to God is to do it according to the Word of God, and to allow the Word of God to direct us in our walk with Him and in our work with Him in this day that we're living in. But many today only heed the things that fit them and their lifestyle, and it brings a sense of joy to them as they go through this walk of life. And they'll take this and they'll have this, but they won't have something that goes against the grain of the flesh. Hey, the flesh is our enemy this morning. Hey, we have to battle the flesh every day, and the only way that we know how to deal with the flesh is through the Word of God. That's why it's important as we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, is that we get in this Bible and we pay attention to God's Word and God's law. I thank God for the Old Testament that we can read and we can see these people that have failed, these kings, all their failures. The ones that were the wicked kings, their failure was because they wouldn't pay no attention to the design of God's worship and the place that God had designed for them to come together and worship, the sacrifices that they were to offer. Hey, I'm glad this morning that we don't have to do some of those things, but I do know this, that God still wants us to be obedient to His Word, and that we would allow the Word of God get in our hearts and guide us and be the kind of people, hey, that He wants us to be. But many today don't take heed to the things and the Word of God. They take this and take that, but they won't take others. But we see most people act like they don't want to know God's will either. Hey, there's a lot of people just goes through life and they just act like, hey, they don't care whether they find God's will or not. They're just nonchalant in their attitude toward the things of God, to the place that God desires for them to be. I think there's a specific place this morning, hey, that where we need to be as God's people. I believe He puts us in places. He puts us in churches and He puts us in places where we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there's going to come a reckoning day one of these days. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians that Chris was looking at this morning. Hey, our works are going to stand before God. And they're either going to be rewarded or they're going to be burnt up as chaff. And we find today a lot of times that we don't feel like that the will of God is important to our life. And I think the most important thing in being the will of God is being in the place that God has for us and fulfilling the call that He's given us in our lives. And so we see most people act like they don't want to know God's will. That's, again, the will of God is the most important thing in your life. Hey, our rewards are going to be based, I believe, on our motive. Why did we do the things that we do? Why do we come to church? Do we come to church just to appease our conscience that we might come and just pay homage to God and go back, leave feeling good that we were faithful in the house of God? Or do we come to church for a reason? The reason being to worship God, to glorify God. Hey, to learn about what God has for our lives and to learn the will of God, that we can go through this life and be pleasing to Him and bring glory to Him. But we see a lot of people act like they don't want to know of the will of God. They shun the light lest they be reproved. Hey, a lot of people don't want no light because it reproves their life and the life that they're living. And as we go through this life and we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, He begins to reveal to us, hey, the things that are hindering our relationship with Him. And I think that's a thing in all of our lives that we need to learn is the things in our life that's hindering our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's things that'll hinder your prayer life. I mean, sin, you can't live around sin and in sin, and you can't allow these things to get in you and expect your prayers to be answered. Thank God for people that are of prayer. And we see here that a lot of people, hey, they just shun the light lest they be reproved. They don't want to know what's wrong in their lives. And if one is afraid of the light, hey, it's most likely for some reason that they're afraid of finding out about. This Bible is like a light that shines in our heart. It lights our path. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Bible says there in Psalms 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." As we get saved, when we begin to grow, we begin to desire the things of God, and the light of God's word begins to shine on our life and reveals the path that we've been walking in, and the path that God wants us to walk in. And we find a lot of times, though, that people don't want to know what that is. Knowledge involves a responsibility in our life. It's a great responsibility to acquire the knowledge that we need to live for God and to walk with Him on a regular basis. Then I believe also there are some who both know the will of God and practice it, but they don't practice it the right way. Many practice God's will not because they have a genuine love for God, hey, but because they attempt only to avoid the guilt of rebelling against God's Word. Hey, we ought to want to know, hey, the will of God for our life that we might be beneficial in the kingdom of God in this world as we go through it. Hey, we need to find the will of God and practice it because we love God. Hey, it's God's will that we know the will of God and know the direction in our life that He wants us to go in. But someone said to obey mechanically is become unbecoming as the servant of a great and gracious a God as we have this morning. So, it's like working a job. Some work to survive while others work because they desire to. Why do you do what you do? Do you serve God because you want to? Hey, do you serve Him because that's what God has put in your heart? Do you come to church because you want to come to church? Or do you come because of the burden of afraid what others are going to say about you? Or that somebody's going to not think that you're right with God? Hey, we go to our job every day because we like to work and because we want to be a blessing to our family, that we want to make the money that we can pay our bills and to accomplish the things that God has for us. Some work to survive while others just work because they desire to. And then we see the half-heartedness of most of us is that it prevents our glorifying God. We come in and preach on Sunday morning, hey, but not as dying men to dying men. Hey, we come because we preach as a responsibility and because we love people. I believe we ought to come in and preach the Word of God because we love God and because we want to glorify God. Hey, because we want to see others get saved and we want to see others grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we preach, but not as dying men to dying people. Hey, we're all dying in this world. We talk a lot about sin, so many people dying, and there's so many today that are dying and passing off the scene, and we ought to preach as a dying man to dying people that's going to end up in a devil's hell if they don't hear the gospel of the grace of God. We pray, but not like Jacob wrestled with the angel. Hey, we pray half-heartedly sometimes, don't we? Hey, we just go through the motions of praying for the Lord, bless me and my four and no more. We don't have no real fervency in our prayer life and trying to get God to hear us and to meet our needs and to save those people that we love. I wonder if we got back to praying fervently and frequently and we'd gather together corporately a lot of times, and we'd come together and pray. I wonder if we wouldn't see God accomplish a lot more than we're seeing today. Hey, we don't see much because we don't pray much, I'm afraid. We don't see God working today. The Bible tells us that God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "You sons of Jacob, I'm the Lord God, and I change not." I wonder, are we praying and we wrestling with God to hear our prayers like Jacob wrestled with Him, with the angel there? And then we give, but not as God has given to us. We give half-heartedly. We give of ourselves half-heartedly, and then we wonder why we don't see no results in our life. Hey, we seek to live holy, but not with joy, which becomes the cross of Christ. A lot of people, hey, they live holy, but they really don't want to. I've seen a lot of people that's walked with God, and they lived a holy life for a little while, but then by and by they fell by the wayside. It seemed like it was always an effort to be that individual that God desires for us to be. A lot of people's got convictions in their lives and try to live holy, hey, because someone else is living holy and because someone else is pressuring them. Hey, they're not doing it because they love God. Hey, what we do ought to be done, hey, because we love God, that we want to please Him. Hey, there are some that know God's will and do it to a measure, but yet they don't yield to it with their whole heart. They yield to God's will half-heartedly. And that's why we never accomplish anything, because we yield half-heartedly instead of with our whole heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 9, verse 1, said, "I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works." Psalms 119, verse 2 said, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." Psalms 119, verse 10, the psalmist said, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments." So verse 34 in Psalms 119 said, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Psalms 119, verse 69, the Bible said, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Hey, if we didn't have any other chapter in the Bible besides Psalms 119, I'll tell you, we could live a life that would be pleasing to God because it honors God's Word. It honors His Word, and just about every verse in Psalms 119 says something about God's commandments, His statutes, His judgment, something to do with the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God, if we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in us. Jehu, here we find, did obey God up to a certain point, and it happened to be a profitable thing to him to exterminate the house of Ahab because it would confirm him himself upon his own throne. But anything beyond that didn't pay, and therefore Jehu didn't do it. It was all about him. You know, most of the Christian life, most of the time, it's all about us. It's not about others. It's not about God. It's not about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about the church and glorifying God in our lives. And so we see here Jehu and his heedlessness and how he didn't heed to the Word of God and what God told him to do and how God told him to implement the judgment that he brought. And so we see his display of heedlessness. We ought never be guilty of not heeding the Word of God. Hey, the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Instead of hearing them and agreeing with them and going on and not applying them to our life. Hey, it's pretty easy to say amen and to agree with something, hey, but then not implement it in our lives. And I've seen so many people, hey, they like hard preaching and they like seeing people get their toes stepped on, but they don't like doing what the Bible says themselves. And you see that all the time. If you'll pay attention, you'll see it. If you'll be observant, you'll see people that are not heeding the Word of God. So we see Jehu's display of heedlessness. And then number two, hey, we see the danger of such actions as that in an individual's life. Heedlessness indicates who's really in control. Who's in control of your life and my life? Are we in control of it? Are we allowing God to control us to the extent, hey, that He wants to control us? And if anybody fails in the Christian life, it's not God's fault. We've got more Bibles today. I've got Bibles on bookshelves at home, and I've got plenty of Bibles. But if we fail in being obedient to God, it's not God's fault today. It's because of ourselves, because of our wanting to glorify ourselves and shows who's in control of our life instead of saying, allowing the Holy Spirit control us and to guide us and direct us. Hey, it just proves that we're in control. And that's the problem a lot of times. We're unwilling to take our hands off of our life. We want control. And mind you, it's not easy sometimes to take your hands off your life. Because we like to do our own thing, don't we? We like to go in our own way. We like to accomplish our own things instead of crucifying this flesh and mortifying the deeds of this flesh. Hey, the only way you're going to please God is to mortify and kill, put to death the deeds of this flesh. This flesh is your enemy. Heedlessness indicates who's really in control. Then secondly, some only follow and obey for the excitement. There's a lot of people that goes to church as long as the excitement's there. But I'm going to tell you, day in and day out, when the excitement, it ain't always shouting and glory and swinging from the chandeliers. Sometimes it's just walking with God. Sometimes it's just going and being faithful when it seems like, hey, God ain't doing anything and you can't sense the presence of God. Hey, yet we do what we know's right. We allow Him to control our lives and allow Him to accomplish what He's designed to do. Hey, but a lot of people, they only follow and obey while the excitement's there. And I like to get in a good service. I like to hear good preaching. But I'm going to tell you, hey, sometimes it ain't always glory. Sometimes it's not always excitement at the house of God. Sometimes it's dead and dry. A lot of times when we go in the house of God, most of the time it's our own fault. It's our own fault. I believe if we'd go back there just a little bit, we was talking about praying a while ago, and we'd get pray and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we'd get pray and get full of the Word of God, and we went expecting God to do something, then we'd see Him do something. What did you bring to church this morning? Did you bring some excitement, or did you just bring some drudgery and gloom of having to go to one more service this morning? Did you come expecting something from God? Hey, I'm going to tell you, it don't matter where you go. Hey, it's going to be the same everywhere you go. Some of the most exciting places I've ever been, hey, there's some dry times that they go through. Most time you go to camp meetings and youth meetings and all this, and everything's high and they're swinging from the chandeliers and shouting and praising God. Hey, but then I'm going to tell you, hey, they got to go back to the reality of a day in, a day out, a walk with God, and they're and going to the church and on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And if you're not careful, hey, you'll get out when the excitement's gone. And I've seen that happen. I've seen while everything's going well and everything's hunky-dory, hey, and there's some people getting saved here and there and people getting right with God. Hey, everything's right, then people are okay. But when it gets dry, then we see them fall by the wayside. And then we see not only heedlessness indicates who is really in control, and some only follow and obey for the excitement. Some only heed because of taste. Some only heed because of their taste. They believe a doctrine because they like it. Or they follow a practice because they think it appropriate or is of a value to their self. Yet a lot of times, hey, if it don't agree with their taste, then they don't want nothing of it. Hey, when you begin to walk in holiness and want to glorify God, hey, and then some of those things that you're going to face in your life and have to deal with, hey, they're not going to be all that pretty sometimes. Not all that attractive sometimes to apply to your life and begin to walk with the Lord and begin to lay down this and lay down that. And if it don't suit your taste, then a lot of people, they don't heed it. They just let it fall by the wayside as they go through life. Hey, it's not possible to be a servant of God while we set up our own desires to be our rule of action. Let me say that again. It's not possible to be a servant of God or a child of God while we set up our own desires to be our rule of action. And how easy it is to let those things control us as we go through this life. And then, some only heed because others are doing so. Some only heed because others are doing so. If you're basing your convictions on what others are doing, then your convictions are not true convictions. If you're not walking with God because of what God's done in your life and you're doing it because somebody else is doing it, then it's not benefiting you any at all. So the danger of such action. And then number three, we see the decision in regards to the message. What are you going to do with the light that you have received today? You know, the Bible says where much is given, much is required. Hey, there's a lot of us that's been given a lot that's going to be required one of these days. A heedful individual finds out God's will. The most important thing in my life and your life is to know the will of God and not get out of the will of God. There's a lot of people that's out of the will of God. Hey, they walked away from the will of God that they knew was the will of God, and they're in trouble today. They'll never be right until they go back to that place where they walked out of the will of God. But a heedful individual finds out God's will. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's turn over and look at it. We quote that verse all the time, but let's look at it. Romans chapter 12. Important, the will of God. Paul said in verse 1, said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's important how you live your life in your body. It's important how you conduct yourself in your body. It's important how you dress your body. Contrary to this world and what the world thinks, hey, they think it's that you should to dress according to the fads and the fashions of this world. That's not true. Hey, it's important how we dress our bodies. It's important how we conduct ourselves in our body of flesh. We can't get away from this flesh. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Hey, if we can't do something and stay holy, we don't need to do it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable. God saved us. It's only reasonable that we present our whole body, soul, and spirit to Him. He saved our soul and spirit. When He saved you, He saved your soul and spirit. You're saved. You're being saved. And one of these days you'll be completely saved. But our body is not saved. It won't be saved until the glorification or the rapture of the church and we get our glorified body and then we'll be completely saved. Do you get a hold of that? We're saved, we're being saved, and one of these days we'll be completely saved. When we our body, we get that glorified body. And then verse 2 said, be not conformed to this world. You know, it's so easy to conform to this world. It's easier to conform to this world than it is to be conformed to the image of God. And to be what God wants us to be. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've said this many times, how are you gonna renew your mind? Through the Word of God. You get in this Bible and you let this Bible get in you. And you don't just take the things that taste good to you, the things that you want. Hey, you have to let this whole book get in you. If God said it, then we believe it. And it ought to be so in our life. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I've said this a lot of times. And it's true. The will of God is good for your life. It's acceptable and it's perfect. It's not three different wills. It's one will. You're either in God's will or you're out of God's will. Now, some people will talk about the permissive will of God and they may be a little bit, God allows someone to get out of the will of God and He long-suffering and He don't want to bring judgment and He allows that person to go on in the permissive will of God for a while. But really, the will of God is either you're in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. Now, if He's not bringing judgment, you're probably in the permissive will of God. But the will of God is the right thing for your life. I mean, if we'll stay in the will of God, hey, it'll keep judgment and correction off of our life. If we walk with Him. Now, we may experience some persecution, some problems and things like this. Hey, but I'm glad that God wants us to walk in His will and to be in His will on a daily basis. Not in and out and up and down. That you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So a heedful individual finds out God's will. A heedful individual will prevent much evil from being in his life. Did you know if you're heedful to this Bible, it says abstain from all appearance of evil? If it looks evil, stay away from it. Sometimes we get in that situation and we refuse to deal with things and we go in the way of the world and we get in trouble. Now, I've seen some people that got saved. We was talking about that just a little bit ago about the gentleman, hey, that come out of the Catholic Church, made a profession. He's in a Baptist church, but he was doing some things, maybe, don't know what it was, but he could possibly have been doing some things that's not beneficial for a Christian to do. And he keeps on going that way, and he won't stay in the right way. It'll drag him out of the way. It'll drag him into the ways of the world. Drugs, I don't care if a person gets saved. I believe in immediate deliverance. I believe God can deliver you. Hey, if that individual has been convicted about that, whether he's convicted or not, it's wrong. Hey, but sometimes it does take people a little longer to get a hold of the fact that something's wrong in their life. Now, I'm not condoning it. But what I'm saying is sometimes it takes an individual growing in grace and they learn that being controlled by a foreign substance is not pleasing to God. He wants us to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And a person that will heed the Word of God, hey, they can prevent evil from being in their lives. You want to get in trouble? Get out of the will of God. Get to where you won't pay no attention to what this Bible says. And if you've been saved for any length of time, a person ought to be to the point and place where God can speak to them from this Bible and deal with their sin. A heedful individual will prevent much evil. And then a heedful individual will be a great blessing. You know, people that will listen to the message, that don't disregard it. And I've seen people, preacher preach, and they get mad. Have you ever got mad at a message? I have. I've got mad and a little bit at preaching before. I'll just be honest with you about things, you know, that didn't agree with my flesh. But a heedful individual will be a great blessing. Hey, if you want to be a blessing to church, heed the preaching of the Word of God. Heed what the Bible tells you to do with your life. Order, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he not be utterly cast down. David said that. He knew how easy it was to get out of the will of God. But I'm glad for an individual that's saved, that regards the message that God sends them, be a great blessing. We'll find that Jehu didn't do that. He didn't regard the message that the Lord sent him. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Listen to this next verse. Verse 32 said, in those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coast of Israel. From Jordan eastward, all the land of the Gilead, the Gadites, and the Reubenites, and the Manassites, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. And verse 34 said, now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 36 said, in the time that Jehu reigned over Israel in Samaria was 28 years. God was long-suffering with him. He promised him four children would be blessed. Even though he was wrong in a lot of his life, his decision in regard to the message that God sent him, he didn't obey it completely. He didn't walk in the law of the Lord. But he could have been a real blessing to Israel. He could have led them in the right way, but he didn't. And then we see, last, a heedful individual will be full of joy. You want to keep joy in your heart? Listen to what God's saying, whether it's preaching, whether it's reading the Bible, your daily Bible reading, when you run up on something and God begins to speak to your heart. Hey, if you'll heed the Word of God, hey, there can be joy in your life. There can be joy. You can have a happy home and there can be joy in a home, hey, by ordering your home according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God. Turn over to James, the book of James, and we'll close. Chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And it's easy to hear sometimes, but God wants us to be a doer of the word. He wants us to hear it, and He wants us to do it. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed, and there shall be joy in his heart, in his life. There may be some problems, but I'm glad, even though persecution problems and things like that come, hey, I'm glad that there can still be joy in an individual that regards the message that God gives him. God wants us to be a happy people, I believe. He wants us to be people that's filled with joy this morning. Jehu, he executed what the judgment that God told him to execute. Hey, but he didn't follow completely. Just as soon as he got done with that, if you'll read the story and go back and read it, he began to try to lead Israel into another type of worship. The cage there at Bethel. And it wasn't pleasing to God. And eventually it brought judgment on him, and God began to cut him short. I've seen people that walked away and it seemed like God just began to cut them short. He was blessing them and they got away from God. I've seen preachers that had preached for years and then they get out of God's will and you look at their families, there's a mess today. Their lives is a mess. Some of them even dead. Gone on. Because of disregarding the message that God's given us. It's important how we conduct ourselves. If Jehu had led in the right way, no doubt God would have blessed him. God used him. God used him to accomplish what he wanted to in cutting wicked Ahab's house short and destroyed Ahab's house. Every male, the Bible said, he was to execute judgment on him. And you read, that's amazing. This is a bloody book. God always demands complete obedience in our lives. And if we're going to please Him, we're going to have to be completely obedient in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house today. Lord, I thank You for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we know that we didn't do it justice this morning, but Father, I know that You've got something for us. Lord, if we don't get anything out of this morning except finding the will of God for our lives. Lord, what You'd have us to do, help us to be yielded to You. Lord, we realize the will of God is important. Lord, we don't want to walk away from the will of God, but Lord, we want to stay close to You. Lord, we want to grow in Your grace and knowledge. Lord, help us to be yielded to You. Help us to take our hands off control of our lives and allow You to control us, Father. Lord, I pray that You go with us downstairs for fellowship. Lord, I thank You for the church and for the time that we have to go gather over food to celebrate Debbie's birthday. I thank You for her, Lord, and for allowing her to come to this time, Lord, just another day or two, Lord, and she'll be having that birthday. Lord, I pray that You'll give her a good day, Lord, and God bless this time fellowship downstairs. Lord, we love You and we thank You again for the church, Father. Lord, I pray if there's been anyone here today that's down and out, Lord, just maybe needs encouragement. I pray, Lord, that You'd encourage them just by being in the house of God. That one, it may be watching by the way of the webcast, is lost, Lord. I pray, God, that You speak to their heart. I pray that we'll hear people being saved, Lord, through the webcast, Father. Lord, I pray that we'd always glorify You around here. Have Your way, Lord. We love You and we thank You again for Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.